I hold that making hijrah from the lands of kufr to the lands of Islam for the one who is capable and the one who has ability and the one who can, you know, has made the preparation, then I hold it to be an obligation, as is the position of a large body of scholars. So if you need to convince your wife or your children of that, then that is your duty to do so. That you command them with the obedience of Allah and that you remind them of the dangers of living amongst the unbelievers. That over generations, that it is quite likely that they will lose their religion, as is the case that is known historically, that when Muslims live in a culture where they are not dominant, and the Islamic culture is not dominant, then they concede their culture, their Islamic identity, to the culture that is dominant in that country. So in this country, of course, that is kufr, and unbelief, and atheism, and secularism. So on a generational level, that your offspring and future generations, they will progressively become weaker, and that is what is known when people live amongst the non-Muslims. But when you are living amongst Muslims, then the dominant culture is always going to be Islam. And your children will not lose their religion. It doesn't mean that they will not fall into sin. And if in that community, whether it's in Morocco or Egypt, or whether it be Algeria, or whether it be Pakistan, wherever you're from, Somalia, that if there are Salafis that are living in those communities, and you go and live with them, you can only strengthen them, inshallah. With your wealth, with your presence, with your families, you are only strengthening them. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. The Sahaba didn't find hijrah hard, they found it hard. They left their families, they left their properties, they left their wealth. And they migrated in poverty to Medina. But I'm not asking you to leave in poverty. You prepare yourselves economically, financially. You prepare yourselves in terms of accommodation. If you come from a Muslim heritage country, you may have relatives or a family home there. You know, every Moroccan has got a home in Morocco. Every Somali has a home in Somalia. Especially if you're from, you know, Somaliland. You will have houses, your families will have homes. What are you doing just living here? You know, in a one-bedroom council house. 14 stories in the sky. Why? You walk out of your front door and there's a broken fridge and mattress on the floor. And you can smell marijuana from the car windows. And you think, mashallah, I live in a very, you know... You're living in... What are you living in? You're living in a pit. And you leave those open countryside and mountains and valleys and fresh air and Muslims and a hand, even if there's a small group of Salafis, to live here. You know, you're crossing the road and the rat is crossing with you. And you think, mashallah, I'm in a real advanced country. You're living a dream. It doesn't exist. Is there hardship? Of course there is hardship. But you're doing it for Allah. I don't say pack your bags and go and just turn up at the airport and expect huge hugs and people inviting you. That's not going to happen. Prepare yourselves. You have jobs. Make contacts in your home country. Speak to your family members. Speak to Salafis there. You may have to take a drop in salary. Maybe you can work remotely. Maybe you can go there and live and come back to do some trade and then go back again. That's allowed. The Salaf did that. The idea of basically living here indefinitely for generations to come is not realistic. It is not realistic. So think about your future. Even if it means you're from, for example, from Jamaica or Barbados, marry a Pakistani girl. She'll get you to Pakistan. Marry a Somali. She'll get you to Somalia. That's the beauty about it. Because Salafis are colorblind, right? We don't look at people's color. We look at their iman. Right? So you can marry someone who's going to help you in your religion. She's going to help you. Right? Or the other way around. You know, so if you're from a country where it's not Islamic Muslim heritage, then marry a brother from Somalia, marry a brother from Pakistan, marry a brother from Egypt or Morocco. It goes both ways. Why? Because you're aiding each other upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Salafis, if we can live in this country when people are swear, well, I don't want to really go to Pakistan because if I'm black, they're going to look at me funny. They don't look at you funny here. You know, there was nearly a riot because three black men missed the penalty. Right? And, you know, it's the mentality that we have. We actually think that it's normalized. Racism is so normal that we don't even think it as something strange anymore. Islamophobia is so normal that we're desensitized to it. So when you're walking through the streets of Hargeisa and everyone's smiling at you and, you know, they respect you because you have your beard and your wife's wearing hijab, you're like, oh, what's going on? No one's sworn at me today. Because we live in a society and a community and a media that demonizes Islam and the Muslimin. They demonize anyone who doesn't fall into one of the categories that they've set up. Oh, you're intolerant, you Muslims. You know, you're intolerant because you don't believe in gender fluidity. You're intolerant. So, you know, it's kind of like the script is flipped against the Muslims. So if we don't agree with something, you're intolerant. So you can curse our prophet and insult him and make images of him and make cartoons of him and abuse him and put those images in magazines, right? So when the Muslim, oh, what are you getting angry for? You should be tolerant. But dare you desecrate the flag of France. If you do, €1,500 fine. Don't disrespect the flag. But you can insult our prophet and we should just, you know, and if we say, listen, don't insult the prophet. This is our prophet. We don't tolerate you insulting our prophet. No, you're intolerant. You think now it's become so normal here that we've just desensitized ourselves to it. Find your Muslim heritage country. Or find a country that you can get to where the Muslims are. But prepare yourself. Don't just go like that. Convince your families. Go initially, just go for a vacation. Go to Morocco. Go to Egypt. Go to Algeria. Go to, you know, whichever home country that you come from. Go to Somalia. Go to Pakistan. Go to Bangladesh. Go there. And take them. You know, show them around. Show them where the Salafis are. Show them this Markaz Salafi. That this is a Salafi community in Islamabad or in Lahore or in Dadial. And these are places in Pakistan and Kashmir. Or in Morocco where the Salafis are. Or in Algeria where the Salafis are. So that your family gets a client and you look at, and they think, wow, it hasn't rained for 4 days. I haven't seen a single rat. They don't put fridges outside the front door. Because that's normal in the inner cities in Britain. So barakallahu feekum. I think they're about to pray and I don't want to really delay the prayer. You know, and I've spoken about this before, so I really do encourage barakallahu feekum that you really put an emphasis upon this affair. Even if you just get a job in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, in Mecca, in Jeddah, in much better. Go and stay there for some of the brothers have been there for 20 years, just on work visas. 20 years they've raised a generation of their offspring. And they've gone out there working better than being here. Barakallahu feekum. Much better. Hayyakum Allah. Hayyakum Allah. Barakallahu feekum. Let's pray.